Morning.
So the reading today is from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25, and it's entitled A Call to Persevere in Faith. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Thank you, Hanson. Just pray for Lou before she comes up and speaks to us. Father, we thank you for Lou. And we thank you for Ian. And we pray, Lord, that the words that Lou is about to bring us will speak to our hearts, enable us to listen to everything that is from you, and to throw anything that isn't. Lou, be blessed as you bring this word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, mate. Morning. Before I forget, Eeyore, there's three. Yeah. Just do as you're told, because we need to get on. There's three mugs down there. In these mugs, there's little tiny red dots. I know it seems a bit crazy, but just go with it, all right? If we just pass around, if you just take one of the little dots from there, they're sticky dots, but they're still on their back bit, so they're not sticky at the minute, if you see what I mean. You don't, Well, if you well, what are you doing? All you need to do is hand it to somebody, and they'll just pass it on the rows, my love. First class honours degree in physics, but not much common sense. That's where I come in, you see. I'm not that bright, but I've got a bit more common sense. Anyway, let that not be a distraction. Just take one of those little red dots as they come round and hold on to it, all right? So no sticking it on your forehead or anything like that. I mean, if you want to muck around and do that, feel free, but, you know, just don't do it yet, all right? There'll be a time when I'll let you do that. Right. So I hope that's not going to be too much of a distraction for you, having to, you know, pass a mug around with a little red, get a little red dot from it. I hope there's enough. But really, crumbs, sermon, yeah. Has that just arrived on there? As if, like, crack on and get on with it, will you? There we go. Lovely. So today we finish this series that we've been looking at over the course of Lent, where we that have been entitled Frontline Sundays, where we've been thinking about our frontline places. And we have been thinking about the fact that in those places, as people who follow Jesus, we are called to be those who make all the difference in the world. This is a bit of a recap, so you should already know some of this if you've been following it. We're called to make all the difference in the world, not because we are great and clever and wonderful, although many of you are. But we are called to, and we can make all the difference in the world, because the God who calls us is able. The God who calls us is able. And in his power, we are called to be those who make all the difference in the world. We're to make all the difference in the world wherever we are. So wherever you might be, Monday through to Saturday, because we've talked about the fact that that's the most important part, really, of following Jesus. Yes, it is about being here, and this is important. But it's supposed to be something that carries on in importance through the week. So wherever we are, we're called to make a difference. Whatever we do, however menial or however seemingly important we might think it is, whatever we do, we are called to make all the difference in the world. And whoever we are, none of us can bring a note from mum to say, can she be excused? Can he be excused because he doesn't feel like it or he's had a bit of a bad day? Whoever we are called to make all the difference in the world. So these are the, and so today, and we've talked also, as we've talked about that, about how followers of Jesus follow this gathering and scattering model, that we gather together as people who follow Jesus, but we also scatter to lots of different places. And we've used this graphic, haven't we, with red dots. Do you see? It's not that random that you got a red dot now, is it? No. We've used this graphic of red dots, gathered and scattered. The statistics, although really I don't know who spent their time or wasted their time gathering this, because I think it probably would be quite flipping obvious, really. The statistics seem to tell us that, get this, 98% of Christians spend 95% of their time outside church. Oh, yeah, go figure. Basically, they tell us that the vast majority of us will spend the vast majority of our time outside of this place and maybe outside of this Christian community. The vast majority of us will spend the vast majority of our time among millions of people who just don't know Jesus yet. I mean, that's not rocket science, is it? On the graphic we are using, we are represented as those red dots gathering together and yet scattering in the week to our frontline places with maybe those who just don't know anything about Jesus at all. So if you look at this graphic, you can begin to see that it is quite important, or it would be quite important for us, really, to be able to stay red dots and not become grey dots. It's easy to see that if we started to lose our redness, we might not really be all that effective out in the places where we spend most of our time in every week, because we'd probably just blend right in. We'd be absolutely no different in any way to those around us. I mean, Jesus talked about this, didn't he? About salt losing its saltiness and about having a light and sticking it under a bucket, you know, so no one can see any difference, that kind of thing. In this series, we spent a lot of time thinking about our scattered places. Today, I want to highlight the importance of the gathering part. We've not talked about that. I want to talk about the importance of the gathering. When we're together as followers and disciples of Jesus, it is important. This morning, as we close this series, we think about how it is together that we grow. That it is together that we grow. And it's the last one in the series for a good reason, because to be fruitful in our discipleship when we are scattered on our front lines, we need to be faithful in our gathering together. To continue to have an impact and to be those who can and will make all the difference in the world, we need the encouragement and the care and the advice and the prayers of our church family. We need one another. So just think about that for a moment as you look around, all right? As you look around you here, you need the people here, whether you like it or not. You need them. And whether you think or not, they need you. We all need one another. As red dots, we need to stay red in a sea of grey dots. I can't remember who it was that told this story, but it's just come to mind about a young Christian who went to see an older, wiser Christian, and they sat in front of a fire, and this younger Christian was going, I feel like giving up, really. It means it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't really feel like going to church. I don't want to do anything like that. I'm just losing it, really. I don't really know. And this wise Christian sort of sat listening to this other one moan on, and basically got some tongs and he picked out one of the coals from the fire that was really red hot, and he just picked it out and he just put it on the hearth as this young Christian carried on going, well, I can't see the point of going to church and all this. And as the colour drained from this coal, as it started to cool, he then picked it up and he put it back in the fire. And after being in there a little while, it glowed red again as a way of illustrating the fact that we need one another to keep the fire going sometimes. We need one another. Our scattered and our gathered lives are irrevocably connected. We are not called, you see, to be successful. Maybe some of you are thinking, thank God for that. We're not called to be successful, but we are called to be faithful and fruitful, and there is a link between those two things. To be fruitful, we have to be faithful, and part of that, it would seem from the reading that we have looked at and listened to this morning, is a faithfulness in gathering together. Do you know, there are many different passages that could have been picked to help us to get to grips maybe with what it means for us to grow as disciples and to be those who make all the difference in the world wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are. But this one I think is great, this passage, because it starts with a focus on God. It starts with a focus on all that God has done for each one of us. Because you see, as we've done already this morning, when we gather here together, we gather to encourage each other. And a part of that is that together we remind one another of what we're here for. It's nothing really to do with the music, whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you like the style or the tune or whether you don't. It is nothing to do with the notice slot. It is nothing to do with how comfortable the seats are or what style of prayers we have or even what the coffee's like. And we all know I'm fussy about my coffee. We are here because of the good news of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means and what that offers to all of us and how this good news that we call the gospel, this good news, the story of Jesus shapes us, of how it transforms us. When we gather to remind one another of this gospel, of this story that we are all invited to share and to be a part of. There are so many things and so many ways by which we might be tempted to give up on faith, to stop trusting in Jesus, or even just sense that our faith is growing cold. We need one another to help us hold on to this faith and to help us hold on to this hope and to help us to live out the gospel. So we come to listen into this letter this morning, this little bit of this letter written to mainly Jewish Jesus followers. And as we listen, we hear how the writer to the Hebrews encourages us together to grow in faith, together to grow in hope, and together to grow in living out the good news of Jesus Christ. So I think we see in verses 19 to 22 of this passage how the writer is encouraging us to grow together in faith. Because this little bit reminds us of what's been gifted to us in Jesus Christ. We can grow in our faith together because we have access to the very presence of the Almighty God because of everything that Jesus has done. Now, faith, we are told, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We can grow together in faith because we can confidently draw near to God. We can enter heaven's most holy place. You see, this draws on the imagery of temple worship in the Old Testament. It would have been familiar to the mainly Jewish recipients and Jesus followers who received this letter. You know, before the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, access to the very presence of God was not an easy thing. We sometimes forget that, I think. It's easy to forget it. The temple building at its center had a most holy space. It was a sacred place where God dwelt. And historically, that place was entered by one man once a year, and only then after rigorous preparation. Sacrifices were made. There was ceremonial washing. He had to be dressed in the right stuff. It took a long time to prepare for this one man. It wasn't like they went, Barry, you're up, and he went, oh, all right then, and went in. That's not how it worked. There was serious preparation that went on for this one man, who probably wasn't called Barry, to go into the very sacred presence of God. And the sole purpose of them going into that presence of God was to set before God sacrifices to make up for the wrongdoing of the people. This most holy place, you see, it wasn't for everyone. Just this one priest once a year. And this is the space that's freely now open to all of us because of what Jesus has done for us. We can draw near to the Father God without fear and without any uncertainty because the curtain that separated that holy of holy place from the rest of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom as Jesus died on the cross. We can draw near to God. It is a privilege. It's not something we've earned because we're quite clever. It is a privilege that is gifted to us because of all that Jesus has done. And together as we meet, we remind ourselves of that, that we have access freely to the holy God, that we meet primarily so that together we draw near to God. We can enter his presence. We can do that together to sing or to be still or to pray or to cry or to rejoice or to lament, to celebrate. We come as family together into the presence of a loving heavenly Father. And this passage starts with a reminder. Together we grow in faith. We grow in confidence in all that God has done for us in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Together we spend time in the presence of God. And as we do, we are enjoying and living together in the reality of what it means for each one of us to know restored relationship with him through Jesus Christ. To be fruitful on our front lines, we need to be faithful in gathering together to encourage one another, to draw close to God. Keep drawing close to God because there is nothing in the way. You can. You're invited. It's gifted to you. Keep drawing close to God. Grow in faith of all that God has done for you because you draw close to God because of what he's done, what he's done for you. I think this passage also talks a little bit about us growing together in hope. You know, the backdrop to this letter to the Hebrews is one of them being a scattered group, but not in the way that we are talking about being scattered in the week, scattered mainly through choice of job or how we might spend our time. These early Jewish Jesus followers were scattered through persecution. They were scattered because of suffering. They fled places of great danger, and many of them still faced large amounts of hostility due to the simple fact that they followed Jesus. There were so many reasons for them to have given up. So many. The scorn and the abuse that they faced as Christians was real and was immense. And today, as we sit here in the relative comfort, as we sit here, we have sisters and brothers today in Christ who face this very kind of physical threat and persecution every day. But we also know that even without the physical threat of persecution, that we at times, through cultural, social, or intellectual pressure, will feel like giving up. Because it happens, my friends, it happens. Maybe you've felt like that. I know I have. I'll be quite open to admit that. The moment I got called into ministry came from a moment of me going, well, I think I'm walking from all this malarkey because it didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I've been there. It's not a pleasant place to be. But it happens. And it happens for whatever reason. Life is sometimes difficult. Because it happens, the writer to the Hebrews says this, hold tightly without wavering to the hope you have in God. Why? Because despite all the evidence that might scream at you to give up, because it's all nonsense or whatever, God can be trusted. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope you have because God can be trusted. The hope that we have in the good news of Jesus, you see, is rooted deeply, not in our understanding, not in our experience or our faithfulness necessarily or our ability to keep this Christianity thing on the road. It's rooted and anchored deeply in God, the one who remains unchanged, the one who holds all things. To steal the words of the song, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain and touching the throne. You see, everything that was needed to be put right has been. Everything that was needed to be done has been accomplished. Your relationship with God as your heavenly Father doesn't really rest upon you. It's not like being in a relationship where you think, I'm punching above my weight here. So you never really know the peace and rest because you feel you're constantly having to do something to keep someone happy, to keep them sweet, to keep them loving you. That's not how it works. You and I know peace and security and love forever, not because of who we are, but because of all that God is. Because of all that God has done. God can be trusted. God keeps his promises. God doesn't change. Hope anchors us into this reality, even when the conditions around us might be screaming something that seems very, very different. Desmond Tutu, the great Desmond Tutu, he said that hope is being able to see there is light despite all the darkness. And there was a man that experienced something of that as well. And that's what he called hope. Being able to see there is light despite all the darkness. He tells this world this wonderful story, Desmond Tutu, of seeing a white priest who was Trevor Huddlestone, actually, but this white priest doff his hat to his mum on the street. And Desmond Tutu said he couldn't believe his eyes. He could not believe his eyes that a white man should do such a thing to a black working class woman. It wasn't done. And he remembers it. He said it was like scorched into his brain. He remembers it. Why? He says because it was a glimmer of hope. It was a glimmer of light in a dark world of oppression and injustice. That one human being with a life that had been so transformed and shaped by the life of Jesus made a difference and encouraged hope, nurtured hope, offered hope of a change, of difference, of freedom. This hope, you see, is all wrapped up in Jesus. In Jesus who came to this earth, who knows your difficulty, who knows your pain, who knows your sorrow, who knows your grief. Who understands it all and who makes it possible for each one of us to draw near in faith and to hold on to hope. Hope that God's kingdom will come. Hope that all will be renewed and transformed. Hope that justice and freedom and wholeness will one day be our reality. We need one another to help us hold on to hope because life is hard. I don't need to tell you that. It's hard and it's tough and it hurts and it seems so unfair at times. And together we grow in hope because together we remind one another, God is faithful. God is good. God is loving. God is kind. And despite anything else that might be going on, he is in control. I wonder whether you just need to hear that. Whether there's someone sat here that really needs to hear that this morning. Hold on to hope. Because despite everything that might be storming around you, God can be trusted. He's faithful and he's good and his timing is perfect and he knows. He knows. To be fruitful on our front lines, we need to be faithful in gathering together to encourage one another to draw close to God. To grow in our faith of all that God has done for each one of us. And we need to be faithful in our gathering together so that we can hold on to the hope that is ours in and through Jesus Christ, especially in our days, because there is a lack of hope. There are so many people living without hope. And if you think, well, I don't seem to meet them, talk to young people, will you? There are so many young people in this country at the moment who have no hope for their future because they see what's going on around and about them. They have no hope. But we have a hope. We need to hold on to it and embody it and share it and make it known because it will be like a little light in a great lot of darkness, in a massive amount of darkness. Finally, as the New International Version puts it, in verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. we grow together in living the gospel. Now, in the New Living Translation that we heard, I think it loses something of the strength of what's said here in its call. It says, think of ways to motivate one another. It's almost made it a bit polite. It's politely, isn't it? Think of ways you can motivate one another to gather together. Because motivating is so lovely, isn't it? That's not really, I think, what was meant here. Spur one another on, it says. Now, spur is a very strong word. Now, maybe when you hear it, you just think of spurs and footy. I mean, obviously, I don't, because I'm a green and yellow, aren't I? So, yeah. But, of course, spurs are not really about football. I mean, personally, I think the team aren't really, but anyway. It's not really about footy. Spurs are a small piece of riding equipment. I've looked it up, so you won't have to. Worn on the back of a rider's boots, heels. And they are worn for one intention only, and that is to provide direct communication from the rider to the horse. Yeah? And so you think, well, actually, they've got reins and they've all got voices, so why the heck do they need things stuck on the back of their heels? Eh? Why? Aren't their voices enough? Aren't reins enough to go this way, that way, stop? Aren't they enough? It would seem in some cases, no. They are specifically used, spurs, to, get this, strongly encourage the horse to move forward with urgency. The actual word spur comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, spura, which loosely translated means to kick or urge on. So can I just paraphrase this and say to you, what is said here within our scriptures is this: let us consider how we might urgently give one another a kick up the butt when it comes to acting and living and doing good things that show love. That's what it says, not let's motivate one another. Let's give each other a kick up the butt when it comes to doing the things Jesus did in the way he did them. Because if we don't do that, there is absolutely no point in us being here, quite frankly. And we need to wake up to that. We need to wake up to it. You see, what is written here has this idea of inciting or provoking one another. And its strength suggests the importance of helping one another to live out our faith on our front lines, of how we need one another to help us to live out the way of Jesus. Because it's easy to grow weary of doing good, isn't it? Well, I find it is. I'm quite happy to admit to you, I find it quite exhausting having to do good things. Because usually not doing good things seems more fun. Hence the temptation to not do good things. Let's be real about it. It can be exhausting doing good things, of having to be the adult in the room, of having not to respond, or having not to react and respond. It seems more fun sometimes to think that I could react rather than respond. It's wearying doing good. People can be very ungrateful. People can be quite manipulative of you. Our best efforts may not seem to lead to any lasting change, so you think, well, what's the point? I've bust myself, I've bust my guts being good, and nothing's happened. What's the point? It's easy to give up. It's easy to become self-centered. The writer to the Hebrews recognizes this happens, because that's why this bit's written in there. There's hope for all of us. When these things happen, we need one another. And we can help one another by not allowing each other to give up, to keep the challenge before us, to keep going in doing the things Jesus did in the way he did them. And I think we can see, even in these verses, there's a little reflection of the whole gathering and scattering model works. We kick one another into shape when it comes to showing love and doing good deeds, doing the things of Jesus. And if the truth is that most of our time is spent away from the church building, this is most likely going to be taking place in our frontline places. But it's together that we encourage one another and give each other a kick up the butt to do the things that we're supposed to do, to be accountable to one another for what we are doing. Do not give up on gathering, on the gathering aspect of this frontline mission and ministry. Some are in the habit of thinking they can get by without it. This is basically what Hebrews is saying. Do not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. As some are in the habit of doing, you know, you can imagine him saying it as he's writing it down. Don't give up. Don't get out of the habit of connecting and gathering and being with fellow followers of Jesus. Because the kinds of people we are on our front lines will be supported by the quality of our gathering together. Together we affirm the significance of our frontline places. We encourage one another, we pray, we minister to one another, and by the Holy Spirit we are equipped to go and live the way of Jesus in those places, wherever they are, whatever we do and whoever we are. It is in our gathering that we affirm the truth of all God has done for each one of us in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. It is a place where we grow in faith, in hope, and then in truth, in what it means to live that out every day. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So where are the places that that happens for you? Where are the places that happens for you, maybe at LRBC? Where are the places where you know you are accountable to your church family with what you face when you are immersed with things on your front line? Who is praying for you? Really knowing what's going on. Who is praying for you and for those that you will encounter in the places you spend your time? How are you keeping the members of the church family here accountable for their lived out witness to Jesus on their front lines? Do you even know what they do? Do you know where they go? Do you know what they struggle with? And this, I believe, my friends, is where house groups are so important for us. They're vital. Because some of that stuff doesn't happen here because there's too many people. If you're not in a home group, why are you not in a home group? And if you're saying, well, there isn't enough of them, well, come and talk to me because let's make more. That's the whole point. It's easy, I think, when we emphasize our front lines, to see that life together is equally important. In fact, if this is the place where we are reminded of the core elements of our faith, and if this is the community that's going to help us remain faithful to our calling, if this is the community that's going to affirm the significance of where each one of us is from Monday through to Saturday, then meeting together is vital. It is vital. It's central to our spiritual disciplines. And I'm fully aware that a commitment to meeting as church on Sundays or in small groups can be difficult. It can be difficult. Life is busy. We can have family and work responsibilities, but I believe that as disciples of Jesus, we are called to meet together and to not give up on meeting together, even if some make the habit not to meet. And I believe that because it's written here and you can't get around it. We need to meet together to grow in faith and hope on what it means to live out the gospel of truth. We need it. I'm going to finish now with a little bit of a video. You know the videos that we've looked at? There's a little one here for this thing. So as we watch this, maybe just find your little red dots and hold on to them for a moment. We'll watch this. And then we're just going to have a time of prayer just after this video. So.
Gathered.
Welcomed.
Celebrated.
Restored.
Gathered together.
Encouraged.
Supported.
Loved.
Reminded who God is.
Hearts awed by His majesty.
Eyes seeing fresh.
The wonder of grace.
Thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
equipped,
renewed,
commissioned,
ready,
sent.
So, this morning, as this is the last one of these series, I think what I'd quite like to do, and I just want to say this right at the beginning, if you don't feel comfortable doing any of this, I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than maybe speak some words that will be up on the screen. I'm not in the habit of getting people into church and getting them to say things that they're not ready to say, okay? So if you're not happy saying it, then just sit quietly. You don't have to join in with this. But there's almost like a little commissioning prayer here that happens now, that I would like us to just take through. That as you've got your red dots in your hand, I want you just to maybe have a look at them and ask yourself, how is it that you as a red dot in this world of grey are ensuring that you keep connected to the one who gives you strength? How are you as this little red dot keeping connected with the one who equips and enables you? What's your current habit with regards to meeting with Jesus, with regards to meeting with other Jesus followers, with prayer, with Bible reading? Because in this overstretched and chaotic world, what I want to ask is, does your habit give you the space to be a blessing to others, but also receive blessing and encouragement from others and from the God who loves you? This red dot speaks about the fact that you are called as a follower of Jesus to be one who makes all the difference in the world, wherever you are, whatever you do, and whoever you are. It is a reminder that you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God, that you are on a journey of faith, and you are never alone. I wonder where you might be able to stick or keep this red dot so that it might be a reminder of this for you, in your purse, in your wallet, on a mirror, on a bookmark, somewhere in your car if you journey to work. Where might you be able to put it so that it could prompt you to pray for your front lines? Where it could prompt you to pray for those around you? Where it could prompt you to pray for encouragement and for the opportunity to be an encouragement? You see, Frontline Sundays is more than a sermon series. It is a picture of the ministry and the mission that each one of us as followers of Jesus are called to, are sent by the Holy Spirit into. That's the truth. So I wonder this morning whether you might be ready to commit to that kind of discipleship. Because it's the one that Jesus calls you into and invites you into. You're not forced into it, you're invited. And you have the choice as to whether you say yes to that. There's going to be some words on the screen. And what I would say that is, if you are ready to be able to say, yes, with the help of God, I'm able to do that, then as it comes to it, we just stand if you're able to stand. And if you'd rather sit, sit. But actually, you just speak those words out. It will become clear as I put the screen on. I'll speak the words that are in italic, and if when the time comes you want to say yes to that, then please join in with the words that are in bold. As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places and will give yourself and you will give yourself unreservedly to his purposes in and through you wherever you are? With the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the small things that you do day by day and seek to make all that you do on your front lines a part of your worship of him? Will you learn to rely on him, his power, his love, and his grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. As daughters and sons of your heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance, and your life on the front line flow first from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and the freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. As the body of Christ, will you commit to encouraging and helping one another flourish in Christ and be fruitful on your front lines? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will. And I'd like to make just the next prayer, a prayer that we might be able to speak out, all of us. So if you're able to, would you like to stand? Because these words are basically that we're praying, but we're almost praying and speaking to one another. It's almost like we are affirming and commissioning one another in this call to frontline ministry. We say together, we affirm your call to follow Christ in all of life, including life on your front lines. We commission you to this life and work and pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. And so may the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and in all things you will know Jesus Christ, you will seek to make him known to the glory of God the Father. And we say together, we rejoice in being followers of Jesus, sent from this church into God's world for his purposes. May the blessing of God go with each one of you. Please take your seats as I